podcast featuring Denise Drysdale and Jessica Rowe. One fat lady and one thin lady.
Oh, Niecy. It's so...
Jessie.
Oh, Jesus. I feel very grown up sitting here with you.
Do you?
I do with a microphone.
I know. It's pretty special, isn't it? Because we've usually got them on our chests when we do Studio 10, so it's a bit different.
It is, but it also makes me feel like I have to speak very properly.
Oh, no, don't do that. You'll ruin it.
Okay.
We're just going to tell you that we're sitting in Jess's lounge room. This is our first podcast, and we thought you might be interested in a bit of the difference in our lives and what's happened to us. And I'm lucky enough to have met Jess. I've only started on Studio 10 a couple of years ago. And here was this wonderful woman sitting next to me, and since then we've just become really good friends, and it's an absolute honour to have her as a friend because she's one of the most wonderful, kindest people I've ever met. So don't try and say anything nice about me because it'll ruin it.
Oh, we will not ruin it. Oh, Niecy, that's so beautiful because that
it's
makes
true.
Me want to cry. Well, but it, you know what? For me, the great joy of doing Studio 10 has been meeting you and our friendship.
And having a laugh on camera and gets us through.
But not even that, but what you've brought to my life and to my family's life. You clean up after me. You sort me out. You unpack the dishwasher. You give me wonderful advice. And you have such a big heart and you're so generous.
Thank you very much. Now let's get on with the podcast.
Oh, but come on, that's part of it because...
No, it is.
What I find so fascinating about you is your life and all of your incredible stories.
I know. I've had an amazing life. I've been so lucky with work, lucky still to be doing television because about 3 years ago, if you'd have said I would be on telly again, I wouldn't have believed you.
Why?
Because I thought they don't put old people on camera, and Ida Buttrose got tired and so there I was. Oh, the cat's just joined us. I wish this was Pottervision.
That is Violet, so you might hear her little tinkling bell in the background.
She's beautiful.
She's because we've bonded over cats too.
We have. I got Sweetheart, who's a sort of part relation of Daisy.
Daisy,
yeah.
The same breeder.
And now she's turned into Devil Cat. But where do we want to start? Do we want to go back to the very beginning?
I think the very beginning, because you were singing and dancing from when you were weenie.
I know, that was because Mum and Dad had a pub. But have you got any memories of when you were little or stories that have been told about you when you were about two or something like that?
Well, when I was a little girl, I was so shy. I was petrified of everything.
Wow.
And really nervous. And I used to cling to my mum's leg and sort of hide behind her skirt. And I never wanted to sort of speak or I just was really shy.
That's another cat. That's Daisy coming in if you heard a thump.
Uh-oh. And you know, when I first started school, I had this issue with I was so nervous about starting school. I thought I had to go to the toilet all the time.
Oh, that'd be awful.
So then Mum took me to the GP.
To see if something was wrong.
Exactly, and nothing was wrong, but he prescribed me a placebo tablet to say this will stop you going to
what's
the toilet.
What's that? A placebo tablet? Is it a pretend tablet?
Yes, but I didn't know that.
Ah.
So it was actually very effective. So then I stopped needing to go.
So isn't that amazing in itself that they gave you a pill that didn't mean anything or do anything, yet it cured you?
Well, the power of your mind.
Yes. Well, my big memory, and this comes from a lady that lived across the road from Mum and Dad, she said, I came across to her place with no clothes on when I was about two and a half. I've crossed the busy road in Jasper Road.
In the nude.
That was maybe a bit telling for the future, I think.
What do you mean? Another time,
Mum was so perfectly groomed, and of course I was supposed to be perfectly groomed, and she dressed me in a bonnet and the whole catastrophe.
A bonnet.
And of course we were going out.
With frills.
I would have had frills and bows and lace. Anyway, the next thing she looks, she'd obviously given me a bath. I got back in the bath with the clothes on. She was furious, and she didn't stop being furious till she went.
Oh, because Because, as you say, your mum always used to be immaculately dressed.
Always.
And lipstick and jewels, and because she used to hold court at the bar, didn't she?
Yes, she had. When she went out to the races, she had matching shoes, handbag, cigarette holder, gloves and hat, and she would go to the races with her dress hanging in the back in her petticoat and get dressed when she got there so she didn't get wrinkled.
But wait a minute. This is like you, though. You cannot bear a wrinkle or anything anywhere. You iron your sheets, don't you?
No, I don't. I wish I could.
What do you mean you wish you could?
They're too bulky, and by the time I get to the bit, I have to start again. That would be the idea of luxury for me, that you send your sheets out to be done. That's my idea of being really wealthy.
But would they do them properly?
Of course they would.
Yeah?
I'd tell them how.
Because you are so, although you say your mum was so kind of fancy and loved all the clothes and you weren't so much into that, but you are very neat. You're very
organised. So was my mother.
Oh, she was neat too.
Unbelievably, and good at flower arranging and all of that, and always looked immaculate. Yeah, she used to get, when we go driving, because we were in the pub at 3.5, when I was 3.5, we used to go for a Sunday drive, and Mum would get Dad to stop to get the lilies off the side of the road, and then she'd get back to the pub and she'd chalk them into different colours to put them in a flower arrangement.
I'm sorry, she would chalk?
The white, you know, the white lilies with stem?
With the petal, yeah.
Yes, and then she'd chalk them different colours and put them in a flower arrangement in the hall in the pub.
Oh, my goodness.
I've got so many memories about the pub. It was a fantastic place.
What was that like? Because I think about growing up in a pub and I can't imagine that, what that would have been like.
Well, I was an only child, so that was a different again. But it was amazing because there were all these locals that had come in. Lizzie Lug was one of them, and she used to have red lipstick and a red cardigan.
Lizzie Lug. Was her real name Lug?
I have no idea to this day.
Or was it because she used to chuck a lug a lug?
No, because it was a ladies' lounge. You had a ladies' lounge. The women weren't allowed in the bar. And there was Tassie Johnson with one eye.
So she only had one eye. Did she have a patch?
No, not he. No, Tassie. He was a bloke.
Oh, how did he lose his eye?
Probably in the war or something. But there's a lovely story if you want to hear this. Dad, they used to go out rabbiting on a Sunday, all these guys, and all the kids would go out and, you know, just be big family sort of affair. And we went out one day and Dad, they were making a stew and then they were going off rabbiting and they've said to Ditz, keep an eye on the stew. So
keep one eye on the stew.
So he's they're about a mile away and there's Ditz behind them. And they turn around and he said, I thought we told you to keep an eye on the stew. He said, I have. And this was a socket with no eye.
Oh, so we left his glass eye. Oh, my goodness. Because your sense of humour, you have the
love
best
it.
Sense of humour.
Love
and
it.
And your dad had an amazing sense of humour, didn't he?
He was so funny. He never drank, but you always, at a party, you would think he'd been drinking, but he wasn't. He was very dry. You couldn't stand at a funeral with him because,
really?
You'd be in fits.
But did he do pranks? Did he like to do pranks?
He had a gorilla suit in the back of the car.
What?
He did. He had a gorilla suit in the back of the car. And what he used to do when we go on a ride, you know, on the Sunday ride.
What do you mean a ride, a drive in the
car? A drive, yeah. I'd probably have a friend from dancing or something with us and off we'd go and he'd get changed into the gorilla suit if we stopped at a service station, come back out of the toilet with the gorilla suit on and everyone get and then he'd sneak up when they were playing tennis in the bushes and push his head out and frighten the hell out of everybody.
I bet he did. But did he ever drive in the gorilla suit? Because that would have looked quite funny too.
No, he never. He was quite safety conscious, I think. But he probably caused a few deaths through fright. But he was amazing. But the thing that really annoyed me, I wanted to have a gorilla suit, a gorillagram at his funeral. And my mother wouldn't let me. She said, no, you can't do that. And I thought, Dad would have really loved that.
Oh, that is such a shame because he would have by the sound of it because you still have your parents with you, don't you?
I do. I've got a little bit of their ashes in what looks like salt and pepper shakers that I put on the table when we have a dinner party or anything. And often people go and I just go, no, that's not salt, that's Dad. And they've travelled since we've Dad's been gone. He went to South Africa, and he's been everywhere with me on every trip. And then Mum passed, so she went on every trip. They've had the best time of their lives. They've been up the Rhine. Up on the little, you know, the boat.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're called ships or boats, and with a glass there and a rose and their ashes in their little containers. Really
lovely.
That is
such a beautiful image, I think, to think of. And also they've been to the Logies. I remember you bringing them to the Logies.
They've gone everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, had a great time. What about, so you're talking about how you were shy and the pill got you out, not the pill, but a pill got you out of it.
But so, I was a really nervous girl. I did ballet. I loved doing ballet as a little girl. We had two ballet teachers, the Misses Halliday, who were so strict, and I used to stress about not having my hair in the right sort of bun, and if I lost spray or hair clips and all of that. And but I love the ballet and love sort of, but I'd get nervous. I'd want to do it well and do it properly.
Oh, what a terrible, that's awful. I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's an awful way to live.
Well, no, but you know what? I think when I look back when I was little, I wasn't a happy little girl. I was anxious and worried about things. And funnily enough, it was when my parents split up and then when my mum was unwell for long periods, that made me...
Worse?
No, not worse. It actually made me stronger because I had to grow up a lot faster than I probably wanted to, but I had to come out of my shell. And I think as a result of that, I felt that I always had to be the cheerful, chirpy one.
Because you had three...
I had two. I've got two younger sisters.
Two younger sisters.
And so I was very much would feel that I have to be the cheerleader and the tap dancer.
And look after them.
And keep everyone happy. And although it was a difficult time, I'm such a believer in looking for the silver lining in everything. And although it was tough, that was really the beginning of the making of me
you.
and the sort of person that I am today. Because we all have a story. We all have times when we struggle. You know, another really clear memory of when I was little was after my parents had split up, and it was when Mum was going through her first breakdown and I had a bedroom. My bedroom was right next door to my mum's. And I'd hear Mum crying herself to sleep most nights. And I didn't know what was going on, but I did know
something
terrible was happening. And because it was very different, what I was hearing behind that door was very different to the Mum I knew in the daylight because she was using every ounce of her strength.
And she's
courage.
Still with us, isn't she? Which is amazing.
Wonderful.
If you think of what she's gone through and to still...
She's
you know.
Amazing. For me, my mum is such an inspiration for me about the courage of just putting one foot in front of the other and keeping on going. And I know for Mum, it was myself and my two younger sisters that really did keep her going. But still, as a little girl, it was so scary because I didn't know what to do. And I was too frightened to go in, to knock on the door. But it was just, it was horrible.
Just listening.
Yeah, and
I
couldn't sleep. But it wasn't until Mum stopped crying that I could then hop back into bed and curl up and go to sleep, because I used to sit just resting against her door, her closed door, to listen and just to sort of check. And it's just...
Does she know this now?
Oh, yeah, she does. I know it still causes Mum enormous sadness when she thinks about... her life and the sort of impact it's had on myself and my sisters. But she, though, knows that that was it. I mean, there was no other way. And
how long ago was this?
See? Well, I was 10, so I'm 47 now, so 37 years ago.
And you go back
ago.
Then, no one knew what the cure, they just thought it was, half the time it was supposed to be menopause or it was something else. They never diagnosed that it was depression.
Mm.
And if they did diagnose it, there was the stigma attached that, you know, I'm it wasn't something that could be treated then.
Mm, that's right. And I mean, for Mum, once she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, it was such a relief for her because she was finally able to put a name to how she had felt her whole life.
Oh, so imagine the women that have gone through that. But you're talking 37 years, but back before then, they must have just nearly gone mad with just not knowing what was wrong with them and thinking and probably not talking about it.
And putting on the brave face.
Yes, and wondering what's wrong with me.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Because I wonder, like with your mum, do you think there was a part of her that struggled at times?
Oh, yes, she did. She was bulimic. But we didn't know what that was either then.
Did she know? Or
I don't think she did. I think she just took it as par for a course and just lived through it.
Mm.
And again, I don't think she would have admitted it to herself. She was, you know, very sort of worried about how she looked and everything. So, yeah. I was thinking when you're talking about at the pub, I used to have a case packed all the time when I was little, ready to leave.
Where, what, just on your own?
I don't
know
where I was going. It was under the stairs and a case, and it had a teddy and a pair of pyjamas in it. And this case was packed all the time.
Oh, did anyone else know about the case?
No.
And I bet the jammies were neatly folded. They were, weren't they?
I don't know whether I was neat as back then. I think I've gotten worse over the years.
But I remember you telling me just recently when we were at a function together, all dressed up, and I'm sitting down. You're like, don't sit down, you'll crush your dress. I'm like, come on, sit down. And you said, no, because you were taught from a really early age when you were dancing.
That was at Maydown's dancing school.
And how old were you then?
I started when I was 3 and a half.
3 and a half?
3 and a half. And, of course, by the time I got to school, I'd been dancing for a year and a half, so I was a devil's work. They saw me as this little devil child coming in. So,
but were you a devil child?
Probably, yes.
In what way?
Well, I remember at the pub the man was bringing in, you know, the barrels of beer and they make a noise when they roll them. And he's come into Mum and said, who's that brat of a child out there? Mum said, you're talking about my daughter. He said, she just kicked me and said I was making too much noise because she was trying to read.
Oh!
So I think, yes.
You were.
From a little age, yes.
But though you took authority well, in the sense that with your dance teacher, she was strict, but you listened to her. You didn't muck up with her, though.
Oh, no, because if you did something wrong, you didn't do it wrong because you knew you'd get a whack. Like, she used to sit there with a ruler and she used to have white drawers down to her knees.
What are drawers?
White, like
underpants?
Bloomers in the summer. Her white bloomers with a cigarette hanging out of her mouth. Higher, higher, get that leg higher.
So her white underpants would be hanging out of her skirt?
No, she only had the underpants on.
Why would she just...
Because she was hot. There was no air conditioning and no fans. But she was amazing. Get that snortometer. Just amazing. I mean, and then she'd get up and at the end of our classes, and this is as a 6 or 7 year old, which is a Saturday afternoon. You went in at 9 o'clock, didn't leave till 3. And we used to finish with what they call the Russian cobblers, which is your hands folded and bent down, your knees bent down.
Oh, with your legs sticking out.
And then up and down, up and down. And she used to make us do that at the end of the class, and you just had to keep going and going until you fell exhausted. And because of the competitiveness of probably just what she's instilled in us, higher, higher, you just kept going. I could have gone up to 150 of those before I stopped.
No wonder you kicked the guy.
Just practicing.
That's right. Because that just sounds to me horrific. Did you enjoy it?
She'd be in jail now.
Yeah, she would be in jail. Did you enjoy it, or did you think this is what I have to do?
Well, you didn't have. I was 3 and a half. I thought this was how it was. I didn't. There were no people saying you can't work or you can't do this, or not like they look after child actors and everyone now. There was nothing like that. And we used to do the pantomimes. We'd do 6 weeks And I think we got £2 a week.
And who were you in the pantos?
Oh, everything. Everything. Principal. I used to get all the lines in the pantomime.
And why?
What's cooking, good looking? Nothing spectacular, Dracula.
And what part was that? Do you know what the part was?
That would have been in, which is the one with the ugly sisters? Is that Cinderella?
Yes.
Cinderella it would have been then.
Oh.
Funny people. Really funny. And because you can imagine they did.
But you were little. So what did you think as a little girl going through this world, apart from you saying before that, well, it was just what you did, but was it exciting or was it hard work or was it?
It was everything. It was hard work. It was exciting. We had an independence where we'd be about 9 or 10 and the show had finished and we'd head down to the Crown for the fish and chips. And so we had that. Mm. And we were in the middle of the city and there were our shows. Quite amazing. Mm. It was. It was an amazing time, but I just accepted all of it. And I suppose I have for the whole of my life, really. Never really question practices.
Well, your work ethic, I think, is phenomenal. That you're so disciplined with showing up at this time, not crushing what you're wearing, all of those sorts of things.
Sometimes I let myself down.
Wow, when would you let yourself down, Macy?
Every now and then when I get emotionally tired.
We all have those emotional moments, don't we?
Yes. I'm just glad that I've lived my life through the 60s and 70s and 80s and did everything then, because if I did half the stuff that I used to do now because of the papers the way they are, I'd be plastered all over the papers every day, I reckon, or at least once a week to be a headline, Ding Dong Does It Again.
But do you think because you started work when you were so little that almost because you grew up in the public eye, you grew up in that sort of spotlight?
Yeah, I did, and because we did television. I did the first show at Happy Hammond when television first started, and then I was Happy Hammond.
What was that?
He used to do this.
What, click his fingers?
Click his fingers, and he had a check coat on and a hat, and his show started, and we all went on and did an appearance on that, and then the Channel 9 Junior Ballet was set up at Channel 9, and that was when I was about 10 and a half.
10 and a half. And were you working full-time or were you going to school and dancing?
School and dancing. And then, you did everything. You did competitions, concerts, pantomimes, school. I had elocution lessons. I had violin.
You had elocution lessons?
Or electrocution, Dad used to call it.
Electrocution lessons. Can you remember any bits from the...
The moon has a face like the clock on the wall. It shines on... I can't remember the rest of it.
That's pretty good, though.
That was with one of the nuns did elocution.
Not Mother Thecla.
Oh, not her, no.
Because you didn't like... I mean, you would escape
they didn't
from
like
school,
me.
Didn't you?
I escaped.
You would just...
Oh, I flew.
You flew?
Yes, I just came home one day and said to Mum, I'm not going back there, they don't like me. And I was only 14 and 9 months old.
So you left school at 14 and 9 months. And was your mum happy with you doing that?
I don't think she cared, really. She just said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to audition for the Channel 9 Ballet because they've got the auditions coming up. And she said, oh, well, that's good, because they were brought up in the Shirley Temple times, remember, when everyone just loved her.
Mm.
And I think they were hoping for the same success with me.
But you were so successful.
Yeah, but not at seven. I think they were hoping for a return on their money sooner.
So, because your mum, she was quite pushy though, wasn't she?
Oh, yes. Yes, she was. But she was good. She couldn't come into the dancing school because she was working at the pub. So I'd go down the back and muck around with the mums at the back, and Maya go, what are you doing there? Come forward, and she'd bring you forward into the front so you couldn't muck around. I used to try and make them laugh.
Because in terms of your humour, your sense of humour and wanting to make people laugh, as you say, you've been doing that since you were little, that came from your dad. Did your mum have a good sense of humour too?
She could tell the best jokes, Dad, but hers was structured. Dad's was an ad-libber and a very, really straight sense of just funny.
Mm.
But he'd say something and he'd sum the whole thing up. He was very funny and he had a stroke and he lost his voice and that was the cruelest thing, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
But he was terribly funny, honestly. Unbelievable.
Do you think you're more like your dad or your mum?
I'd like to say more like Dad, but I think as I'm getting older, I'm getting a bit more like my mother.
Well, if you start to colour in lilies, then I will worry, Niecy.
Okay.
Because you are, as I said, very particular. You like round. You don't like corners.
I like curves. But
it's just as well we're sitting at a table.
At a round table. But they give you a nice feeling, curves, squares.
Like what feeling?
Just that it's continuous.
Continuous?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. See, everything in the house I've tried to make curve too.
In your brand new house, which is so beautiful because you've built this eco house.
Yep.
And you've pretty much, you built it from scratch.
Yes.
And you've done it all yourself. And I cannot believe
that. Well, I didn't
get
the nails and hammer out, no.
Well, you could have. You could have, knowing you, because I remember seeing when you had just the plans on a bit of paper, saying, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And you've made it happen.
I know, but it's fantastic. And the guys that I had have done a brilliant job. But I love the fact that it's eco. It's an 8-star rating. It got the award in Queensland. It's up for national award. Which is pretty special to think that it's trying to make a small footprint and the house represents that, all parts of it, except I wouldn't have a concrete floor, which I lost 0.5-star for because I wanted wood.
Oh, well, wood's beautiful.
Yeah, lovely and
soft, isn't
soft
it?
Soft looking.
But I could imagine you quite like concrete because it's cool. Isn't it cool?
No, I find it very hard. I don't like it in shops or in restaurants either.
Oh, and a bit
it's noisy.
Yeah, a bit noisy.
Noisy.
Yeah.
But whatever happened to restaurants with carpet where you walked in and it was, and all you get now is clattering.
But it adds an ambience. I agree.
Oh,
though,
is that
with
what
you.
It is?
Yeah, I agree. Okay. I feel like I'm getting old when I go out and I kind of feel like I can't hear myself think.
Yeah.
Turn the
they've
music down,
about
it's
it.
Too noisy.
Yeah, they've forgotten about why you go to a restaurant, to enjoy yourself, not for the noise.
Now, I've been to restaurants with you and you are very picky about your food.
I might be.
Very picky.
I know what I like.
And what's that? Lemon.
Well, lemon.
Lemon. You could just eat lemons.
No, but the thing is, I know how easy it is to do good food.
No, I don't find it easy.
No, but I know how easy it is. And when you order something and you think they didn't care about when they made this, that's what annoys me because they haven't put their heart and soul into it.
Well,
but you should in a restaurant.
Well, yes, in a restaurant and just cooking generally because you've helped me a lot with cooking.
You've improved tremendously.
Tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Well,
no, but you have. Have you felt that?
Yes. Yeah, I have. I don't burn my food quite so much.
No, not like when you put the baking paper for the nachos and then put it under the grill and couldn't understand why the paper caught fire. And you.
Well, I didn't realise that was what would happen. But you know what? You know what I ended up doing? You would be proud of me because you don't like any sort of wastage. I just took the burnt corn chips away and still served it up. And it was fine.
You didn't tell them about the
burn. No, of course I didn't.
No, don't tell them.
It was fine. It was just,
hope they're not listening to this.
And then there was the other time when I cooked. I was so excited to cook this, was this lamb thing, and I didn't realise that the packaging was still
the plastic underneath
it.
Was it tasty?
Well, it was, because I didn't discover it until after everyone had eaten it, and I thought, oh no, I've poisoned my family.
No,
but everyone
can't
was
with that.
Fine.
No, it's fine. So, I know a couple of people that have done that.
Not that we advocate cooking your plastic.
No,
at all. But I have got better. The panko crumbs, you've introduced me to the panko.
Panko crumbs. Anybody that doesn't use a panko is just not living.
No, they're not. And, I mean, you bring me bags down from Queensland if they're on sale.
Yes. They were $4.90 for a kilo bag the other day, which is really good value from a little Asian store.
But were they actual genuine pankos?
The same ones. And I would have bought some except I've already got about 3 kilos in them.
What, in your luggage?
No. In the cupboard. Excuse me, I'll just have a sip of my tea.
I'll have a sip of mine too.
See you next time from One Fat Lady
and One Thin Lady.
Denise Drysdale and Jessica Rowe.
One Fat Lady and One Thin Lady.